Welcome to Arrested Hand Free with the Sheriff's Daughter, your host, Julianne Harris. Arrested Hand Free delivers an edgy but uplifting message about faith and God's grace. And now here is your host, the Sheriff's Daughter, Julianne Harris.
Hey, I want to welcome you to today's broadcast of Arrested and Free with the Sheriff's Daughter. I'm arrested by God's grace, His goodness, His love, His tender mercy. And I'm free from anxiety, from fear, from discontentment, from sickness, from drama, from every bad thing. And I pray that you guys are blessed today, this early morning, or whenever you're listening to this broadcast. And today is July 14th, and I just wanted to do a shout out. My dad's birthday, the sheriff, his birthday is tomorrow. So happy birthday, Dad. I just wanted to make sure and include that. So yes, I am a sheriff's daughter. And I wasn't always a sheriff's daughter, but my dad always made us toe the line. And so I've been sharing with you my testimony. And up to this point, I have now registered for Bible school. And this was about 5 years ago is where we're at in my life story when it pertains to being set free from all the bad things that I used to do. So praise God, I'm glad you're tuning in this morning. If you want to listen to the previous episodes, please just go to krdo.com, click on radio, and then on down to podcasts, and you will find my previous episodes down there. So I just want to pick up where I left off, which is I arrived at Bible school, broken, hurting, afraid I was going to get kicked out. Well, that was the two goals I had, was I didn't want to get kicked out, and I wanted to discover God's purpose for my life. So I come to Bible school. I still remember the very first day. I felt like a fish out of water. Literally, I was walking through the school and I thought, if anybody here had any idea of who I really am, they would not want me here. Or they would look at me and go, what are you doing here? Because really, that's how I saw myself. And come to find out, everybody else there was going through the exact same thing. Actually, I was, you know, in some respects, a good girl compared to some of the people around me. But you know what? The thing is when you are in the middle of a mess, you think you're the only one in it. And come to find out, there are thousands of people that are in the same mess that you could be in today. You know, the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. The same temptation that you are in, everybody's been tempted with. But God has supplied a way out of that. Praise you, Lord. So I go to Bible school, and the first day was the hardest. And then I just kept going as hard as it seemed. And then I would go home, and we would have to read the Bible. So that's what I would do. I cut out all friendships, really. I would still go to the bar, though, because that's what I was used to doing. So it wasn't all the time. It would be like a Friday night. Friday nights were the hardest for me because for 20-some years, I worked all week for Friday night to go get bombed at the bar. That was like your payday at the end of the week or something, was to be sick Saturday morning. So anyways, I'm in Bible school and things started to change very slowly. Very, very slowly. So, you know, I've been praying about how I should share this with you, because there are three main things that changed my life over a extended period of time. The first thing was spirit, soul, and body. I've touched on that a few episodes ago. That was the main thing that I was meditating on and I was listening to, and I was starting to somewhat understand and believe. You know, there's a difference between understanding and then actually believing. So you can say, yeah, I know that. I understand it. But do you really believe it? Just like, do you really believe that God loves you in spite of your actions? Because I would guess that the majority of the people listening to me right now don't really believe it. They're like, oh, yeah, when I'm good, man, when I'm going to church, when I'm praying, when I'm, you know, giving a tithe and the offering, God is pleased with me and He blesses me, definitely. But what about those moments when you yell at your kids? What about those moments when you start out with one beer and you end up having eight? What about those moments when you don't feel like God is even with you or God would even want to have anything to do with you? Can you believe in those moments that God loves you? Because He does. If you've believed on Jesus, He is so pleased with you because of spirit, soul, and body. So I was hearing these truths for the couple of years before I went to Bible school. That was one of the things that really changed my life over a slow process. Because remember, I didn't get into the mess, but by one bad decision at a time. And then I didn't get out of my mess except for by one good decision at a time. So as I'm learning all these things about spirit, soul, and body, it's changing my thoughts, but I was slowly starting to believe it. Slowly starting to believe that in my spirit, I am perfect. When I believe on Jesus, that's when my spirit was a brand new creation. Praise God. And it's the same for you. So the minute you believe on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you believe in your heart that He is the Son of God and you confess with your mouth that God raised Him from the dead, your spirit is perfect. The Bible even talks about how you have the Spirit of God. It's like your DNA and God's DNA mixed together, and you are this brand new creation. And then in Ephesians 1:13, it talks about you're sealed with the Holy Ghost. So all this stuff, for a couple of years, I'm listening to it, and I'm starting to believe it now. And now I go to Bible school. Has my actions changed? No, not at all. Not at all. So I go to Bible school, and then I really started listening to and meditating on God and who He is. One of the teachings from Andrew Womack that really changed my life was called The True Nature of God. I'm telling you, this is something that the church is not teaching, not that I heard anyway. Like I say, you know, the church could have been saying something, but I heard that God only loves you when you're good. You can only relate to God based on if you're serving, if you're giving your tithe, if you're there to church, if you're doing this, if you're doing that. It was all this works righteousness, this God only loves me when I'm doing good idea. So that's what I heard. If that was what was preached, I don't know. I think it was. But I just want to just throw that out there because I know there were good sermons that I heard. And I had parents that understood the grace of God. It just wasn't something that we generally talked about on how much God loves you, even if you're bad. Most parents are not going to share that with their children because, hello, you don't want your children to be bad. So praise God. So that was the spirit, soul, and body. I go to Bible school, and now I am meditating on the true nature of God, that God is love. It isn't something that He feels because, you know, when we think about human love, this is all we can grasp with our human mind is, I'm here to tell you, I have fallen in and out of quote-unquote love many times in my life. So, but here's the deal. So we want to take that into our relationship with God. And we want to think that if God maybe is just going to get tired of me or get tired of my voice on the radio, and He's just not going to love me one day. And that's not true because it is who He is. God is love. It isn't something that He feels. It doesn't come. It doesn't go. It doesn't waver. God is love. I just want you to think about that for a moment. And when we try to wrap our minds around it, it's like it's nearly impossible. You know, one of the first things that I heard when I came to Bible school is one of my favorite instructors. I had many, but one of my favorite instructors, he broached the class and he said, "Can you describe God in one word?" Can you describe God in one word? I want you to think about that. And I was stumped. I was like, man, love, I guess? Or how about mercy? Or like goodness? Holiness? I mean, how can you describe God in one word? And you know what the answer was? The double jeopardy answer? Jesus. Jesus is the expressed image of who God is. So what does that mean? How does that even pertain to anything? Well, it pertains to a lot. Because if you start reading the New Testament and you watch how Jesus deals with people that are sinners, when Jesus deals with people that are religious and hateful, when you watch Jesus, that is the expressed image of who God is. That is how true love operates. And that's how God deals with you. If you watch Jesus, He's not going around putting people down. He would say, your sins are forgiven. But this is what He would say. He would say, but go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. Like sin is going to open the door to the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy your life. But God never put anybody down for what they were doing. He said, just don't go do it. And it's for your own benefit. Hey, if you can't listen to this entire show, please check me out on Facebook at Arrested and Free. And you can also find me on my ministry website, which is juliesministry.org. So Jesus is the expressed image of God. Wow, that is mind-blowing, isn't it? Because when we think of God, well, I never thought of God as Jesus, but Jesus was 100% God. Jesus was 100% man. There is no difference between the two of them other than Jesus poured out his deity, his supreme being, and he poured himself into an earthly man so that he could save us, so that he could become the punishment for our sins, so that God no longer has to deal with us based on our actions like he did in the old covenant, but now he deals with us based on Jesus. Because when Jesus died on the cross for your sins, he became guilty who knew no sin so that you could be sin-free, so that you could be righteous, so that you could be justified. Praise the Lord. This started to sink in as I went to Bible school. And I would listen to it. And I'm telling you, it wasn't like I listened to it for a month and then I was like, oh my goodness, that's awesome. No, I'm talking about I listened to everything I could possibly listen to on the love of God, on the true nature of God. And here's the deal. As I did that, going to Bible school, you have to read through the Bible in a year, which a lot of people would complain about, which is kind of mind-boggling because if you go to Bible school, you'd think you'd be required to read through the Bible. Well, as I read through the Bible and I'm meditating on all these awesome things that I'm hearing, God started revealing himself to me. And this is what he'll do for you if you just take the time to do it. The Bible is a love letter written to every single one of us. But it does you no good if it sits there collecting dust on your coffee table, collecting dust on your nightstand. Where else could your Bible be collecting dust? You know, they have a whole bunch of Bibles on any electronic device. Just throwing it out there. So praise God. So those two things. And then the last one was a revelation of righteousness. Now that's a total Christianese type term. So if you're like, what are you talking about righteousness? Like who even talks about righteousness? Well, I talk about righteousness a lot because once you get a revelation of it, you are free from all this stuff. When I say righteous, let me explain what I mean by righteous. What I mean by righteous is you are right with God. Not because of anything other than you believe on Jesus, because Jesus paid the price so that you could be right with God. When I am right with God, I am righteous. Wow. Praise God. You know, it talks about Abraham, who was like the father of our faith, and he believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. You know, when you believe God in whatever area, when you look at a promise in the Word and you see a promise of, say, healing, you know what? When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you are right with God. When you believe God, you are right with him. It's just that simple. But it's something that is made so hard in the church world. So when I came to Bible school, one of my instructors was talking about, he was talking about how he was a missionary and he would teach on healing because it is God's will to heal every time. And in fact, you have already been healed through Jesus's blood and his broken body. But I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to be burned at the stake at this point. So anyways, he was talking about that and he was dealing with sickness and he's a missionary and he's teaching people that it's God's will to heal, but yet he's dealing with this sickness. And then he just felt like a big fat failure. And then he was looking at his family and he was worried about what his family thought of him and all this stuff. And he said, and then he had a revelation of righteousness. And all of a sudden, everything changed. It was like something just clicked on the inside of him. And he was no longer defined by his mistakes, by what he thought his family thought, and all this stuff. And see, when I came to Bible school, I was carrying like, I like to call it like a Santa bag full of my past mistakes, because that was my identity. I had two failed marriages. I was a pothead. I was a drug addict. I was a party girl. That one I think I wore as a badge. I'm not sure that I really threw that in the Santa's bag of drama from my past that I carried with me everywhere because it just defined who I was. And so when I'm listening to him say this, I'm like, no, that can't, like, I don't even understand. How can a person get to that point to where they're not defined by who they've been, but who they are in Jesus, by the fact that they are right with God. How can you be defined as that? It was like, it was mind-boggling to me. So I rarely went up and asked questions, but that day I decided I'm going to find out. I need him to tell me exactly how to get free from this Santa's bag of drama and false identities that I'm carrying around with me. So I go up to him and I ask him, I'm like, how can you get to that point? I'm like, I'm twice divorced. For some reason, that one was really hard for me to say it, to think about it. It's like I'm a double failure for some reason. That one was really, really rocked my core because divorce is very destructive in your whole world, your soul, your body, all of it. And so I'm explaining to him all these things that I am and how can I get free from that? And then he looks at me and he's like, well, you just need a revelation of righteousness. I'm like, that doesn't help me, dude. This is what I was thinking. I didn't say that. Good Lord. But I was thinking that helps me none. Like nada. Zilch. Zero. Like how do you even get a revelation of righteousness? And so I walked away rather defeated, thinking I'm never gonna figure this stuff out. But here's the deal. As I meditated and I learned and I started to believe that in my spirit I'm perfect. And then as I started to understand and believe, that's the key, believe that God is good, that God has good for me, that in spite of all the mistakes I've made, in spite of the way I misrepresented him so many times throughout my entire life, in spite of all of that, God is a good God and he loves me. I started to believe it. And it was mind-boggling until one day I understood I am right with God. I'm telling you, some of you may be thinking, well, yeah, I think I know that. No, no, you don't. If you say, I think I know that, then you don't know it. It's something that has to click on the inside of you to where you're like, wow, I am right with God. I am right with the God that forever was and forever will be. I am right with the God that created me, that created this world, this universe. Once you believe it, something clicks on the inside of you. And this is a process. And this was the process that I was going through in Bible school. Meanwhile, I'm living with a roommate that was awesome. I ran into her the other day and I have done this inside story with Andrew where he interviewed me and I was basically outing myself saying, yeah, I'd get drunk at home because after I stopped getting drunk at the bars while I was in Bible school, I would just buy alcohol and get drunk at home. But luckily, my roommate didn't know. And she said this to me the other day when I ran into her. She said, she's like, I had no idea that you were in your room getting drunk. She's like, I just thought, wow, she's so spiritual. She's like in there reading her Bible all the time. And meanwhile, you're in there getting drunk. And I had to clarify because I didn't get drunk all the time. You understand what I'm saying? It was more like, I would say maybe while I was in Bible school, maybe it was more like one night a week. Friday nights, I'm telling you, was the hardest for me. But other than that, I wouldn't go anywhere. I didn't have any friends really. I just would shut all that down because I really was in my room reading the Bible, talking to God. And I didn't really even know how to talk to God other than just like talk to him like he's in my room, you know? And that's all it takes. But I did. I invested that time. I would wake up early in the morning and read my Bible because I wanted to know who this God was. Because I'm hearing all these things. Did I believe it? No, I didn't at first. But as I started to believe it, then my life started to change. Praise the Lord. So I'm really torn on what I should start with as we get deeper into the Word of God and into my story, whether or not I should go with the spirit, soul, and body aspect of it or the true nature of God. And so, you know, I'm just feeling like I want to go towards the true nature of God as we round out this broadcast. So, like I said, as students in Bible school, we had to read through the Bible in a year. So I did that. And here's what I started. And remember, I was learning all this stuff about the true nature of God. It was really wild because I'm reading in Genesis and it's about Adam and Eve, right? So it's about Adam and Eve and how they sinned, basically. And I've read this 100 times before, more than 100 times. But this is how God will reveal something to you. And so I am reading through and I'm in chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 7 or 8, somewhere around there. Verse 7, that's where I'm going to start. And it says, and this is right after they have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God told them, don't eat from this tree, because the minute you do, you'll die. Okay, so physically die, no. But we'll get into that more. But anyways, I'm reading this, and it says, and the eyes of them both were opened. That means after they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their eyes were opened. And it says, and they knew that they were naked. So further down, God comes in the midst. And in verse 11, he says, God says to Adam and Eve, who told you that you were naked? I'm telling you guys, when I read that, after I'm learning the true nature of God, and it was like God spoke that to me. Who told you that you were naked? See, up until that point, before Adam and Eve sinned, they didn't even realize that they didn't have any clothes on. You see, that's how we are with God. When we sin, it gives us a false identity of who we are. So the minute that they sinned, they're like, oh my goodness, we're naked. Now we got to hide. We got to be shameful. We're going to run from God. They went and hid in a bush. And God was saying to me, who told you that you're naked? And I'm just saying to you, what lie are you believing about yourself? God is saying, who told you that you're naked? Who told you that you're a loser? Who told you that you can only have fun by drinking? Who told you that having sex with multiple people is no big deal? What lie are you believing and thus believing about yourself? Well, praise God. This episode is coming to an end, so I have to end it right there. But I just want to encourage you to contemplate, who told you that you're naked? What lies are you believing about yourself? And, you know, I would love to hear from you. I would love you to send me a message and let me know where you're at. And you can do that by going to Arrested and Free. That's Arrested, A-N-D-F-R-E-E. On Facebook, or you can go to my ministry website, which is Julie's Ministry, JulieSministry, I almost didn't figure out how to spell it, .org. And leave me a message. Let me know what lies you're believing about yourself, because they're lies, number one. And then tune in next week and hear the rest of my revelation of this naked stuff, which sounded really weird. But tune in at 6 o'clock on Saturday mornings to KRDO News Radio. That's at 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, or 92.5 FM. And if you want to hear this again, you can go to krdo.com, go to podcasts, and go on down to Arrested and Free, and you can listen to me there. Have a blessed week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
I know you are the reason why, reason why the world's so beautiful, and I know.
The preceding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
Reason why the light shines all around.